Begin the current daf Masechet Shabbos daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. We begin 6 lines up from the top of the Amud. We continue with the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah continues with the theme of the previous Mishnayos. It's talking about regarding doing the Bris Milah on the day of Shabbos, but it has to be on the 8th day Bayom HaShemini. That's where we learn out the Heter of Bayom, that whatever day it's going to fall out on, if it's going to be even on Shabbos, you're going to do the Bris Milah on Shabbos. So the Mishnah begins. Misha Hayilu Shnei Tinoikis. If someone had two children to do a Bris Milah on, Echad lo malacha Shabbos. One was that the eighth day of the time of doing his bris milah was on Sunday. The echad lo malacha Shabbos. One had to have a bris milah done on Shabbos. Could have been even twins if they were born. One was by day, one was by night. Either way, one was supposed to be on Sunday, one was supposed to be on Shabbos. B'shachach, and he forgot. He made a mistake. And what he did was, umola shal achar Shabbos b'Shabbos. By mistake, he took the baby that was supposed to have the bris on Sunday, and he did his bris milah on Shabbos. So then chayev, then he's going to be liable. Because what the person did over here is he made a mistake. It was a mistake in the Devar Mitzvah. Although he was intending to do a mitzvah, however, he ultimately did not do a mitzvah at all because there is no element of doing a bris milah on a child less than 8 days old. And since this child, his eighth day was only on Sunday, and he did it on the day seven, on Shabbos, the day before, so therefore he did a chabur, he created a wound in this child without any purpose whatsoever, and in that, even the one who's going to argue on the Seif Ava Mishnah, Rabbi Shua, he would agree on this case to the opinion of the Tamakama of Rabbi Leza, that you would be liable because although you intended to do a Dvar Mitzvah, you did no mitzvah whatsoever because the child was only day seven over here, you mixed up the children, and since you didn't do a mitzvah, you're going to be liable for Chiv Chatas of being Mechal Shabbos by doing Chavola on this child. However, Echad Lomo Be'echad Shabbos, if there was a child that the bris was supposed to be on Friday, Ve'echad Lomo Be'Shabbos, and one was supposed to be on Shabbos, V'shachach, he made a mistake, and what he did was, Umolah Shal Erev Shabbos Be'Shabbos. This child was supposed to be, his day 8 was on Friday, and he mixed it up with the Shabbos one, and he did it on Shabbos, on day 9, instead of an Erev Shabbos. There we have a machlokes. Rabbi Leza Mechayev Chatas. Rabbi Leza says, even in this case, you're liable for a chatas, and that is because here, this child that the bris was supposed to be on day 8, you did the milah shaloi bisman, and not in the proper time. A milah shaloi bisman, as we learned on previous dafim in this parak, is not toicha Shabbos. It has to be only by Yom HaShemini on day 8. Now, although that you made a mistake, that you were intending to do a Dvar Mitzvah, that you were busy, you're trying to do the one that was supposed to be on Shabbos, but by mistake you mixed it up with the one that was supposed to be on Friday. And even though ultimately that you even did a mitzvah, because when you're doing the Bris Milah on the one that was supposed to be on Friday, and instead you did it on Shabbos, which is day 9, you are Mekayim Mitzvah. Not like the case of the Reisha, where you're not in Mekayim Mitzvah because it was day 7, you're Mekayim Mitzvah. However, the problem is, although it's fit to do a bris milah on this child, that it's day 9 now by him, because it was supposed to be on Friday, now it's Shabbos, but that's not Teicha Shabbos. So therefore, Rabbi Leza holds that if someone made a mistake in the Dvar Mitzvah, even if he made a mitzvah, that however, it's something that would make you liable for a Chiv Chatas, because it's not Teicha Shabbos, it's only by Yom HaShemini, not by Yom HaTashi, therefore you're going to be Chayav Chatas, in spite of the fact that you intended to do the one of Yom HaShemini on Yom HaShemini. There was one to be done on Shabbos, one on Friday, but by mistake you took the Friday one and did that on Shabbos. Even in that case, you're going to be Chayav Chatas. However, Rabbi Shua Paita, in this case, Rabbi Shua says you're going to be Pater, because you, A, were Ta'ab B'Dvar Mitzvah, you were intending to do the correct Mitzvah, which was to do the Shabbos one on Shabbos, and even when you made the mistake that you did, ultimately you did a Mitzvah, because the one that was supposed to be day 8 on Friday, and you did it today on Shabbos by day 9, it's still a Kiyum of the Mitzvah of Bris Milah, it's just not Bizmana, and it shouldn't have been done, and it's generally not Day Shabbos. However, since it was in the process of doing the proper Mitzvah, and you did the incorrect Mitzvah, you're going to be Pater, as the Gemara is going to elaborate on. Now the Gemara says, our first case, we have two cases in our Mishnah. One that everyone agrees, and then the Sefer is where we had the Machlokes. So we have two versions in the Gemara of Amiram. We have the version that we have in our Mishnah, and then we have a different version that a different Amori brings. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna Master, Rav Huna learned Na Mishnah in the Reish, in the first case. His terminology was Chayiv. That is that everybody agrees that you're liable. That's like the way we had it in our Mishnah that we brought it, that it's the case of when it's supposed to be on Sunday and you did it on Shabbos where it was day 7, it wasn't even the time yet of doing a Bris Milah. It's not a Kiyum at all of a Milah, that there you're going to be Chayiv. However, Behuda Masni Potter, Behuda's version of our Mishnah was that it was told about that everyone agrees that you're Potter. And what case was that? That is, he had our second case of our Mishnah, the Sefer, he had as his Reisha. In the case of when you forgot and you did the Bris Milah on the one that was supposed to be on Friday and you did it on Shabbos, there everyone is going to agree that you're Potter because ultimately you did a mitzvah with the Friday one. And their Machlokes in the Sefer was the case of what we have in our Reisha, which is when you were supposed to do it on Sunday and then you did it on Shabbos. And that even there, Rabbi Shua is going to say that you're going to be Potter in spite of the fact that L'chayr would seem that you should be Chayyah because you're not being Mekayim in the mitzvah at all. We're going to see that his version holds that because you would ta'a b'dvar mitzvah, you're intending to do a proper mitzvah of doing the Shabbos one on Shabbos, and you mixed it up with the Sunday one, although you weren't fulfilling any mitzvah by doing the Sunday one because it was day 7 and you can't do a bris milah before day 8, still in that case is where he argues and says he's going to be potter. And the Gemara explains and brings Tanoik support for each one. Avuna learns the way our version of the Mishnah is, that everyone holds it, you're chayiv again the case of when it was supposed to be on Sunday and you mixed it up with the Shabbos one. The Tanya is learned in the Braisa, Amrim Shimon Laza. Loinechleku Rebbe Laza Rebbe Shua al Mishahoyu loy beis tenekes. Rebbe Laza Rebbe Shua did not argue on the case of when there's two children. Echad lamal b'Shabbos, ve'echad lamal achar Shabbos, two children, one was supposed to be the bris on Shabbos, one was supposed to be the bris on Sunday. V'shachach, and he made a mistake, u'mola shal achar Shabbos b'Shabbos, shu chayim. We're there that if you made a mistake and you did the Sunday one on Shabbos, we're there as in the version of our Mishnah that everyone agrees you're going to be chayim. And that is as we explained that although that you were torid, you were involved in trying to do a proper mitzvah, and you made a mistake. However, but since you ultimately did not do any mitzvah whatsoever because the time of this child that was supposed to be on Sunday, it didn't reach the time of the bris milah yet, so then there everybody is going to agree that you're chayiv. Aman nechaku, what was that they argued about as the seifa of our Mishnah? Amisha ha'ilo beis tenekes was regarding someone that had two children. Echa lama be'erev Shabbos, v'echa lama be'Shabbos. One that was supposed to have the bris milah on Friday, and one was supposed to have the bris milah on Shabbos. Again, like we said, that possibly they were born, even twins, and then there was a separation. One was born an hour later, or 2 hours later from the day to the nighttime, and then it's halachically different days. So one's supposed to be Friday, one's supposed to be Shabbos. V'shachachu mola shal erev Shabbos be'Shabbos. And there you made a mistake, and you did the one of Friday, and you did it instead on Shabbos. With this, Rebbe Elazar mechayev chatas, Rebbe Shua paiter, that there Rebbe Elazar holds that you're going to be chayev even in that case. Rebbe Shua says, no, there you're going to be potter, which is again the version of our Mishnah. B'shneim lo ilumdua elam avodzik kacham. Regarding this second case, the case of the Seifa, there they both learn from the same source from avodzik zar, and that is all the chatos, every karma chatas that's brought is compared to the chatas that's brought for avodzik zar. As it says in the pasuk, it says Toyer achas yilchem, one law should be for you. That is, and that's a reference to the halachas of karma chatas, and that is said in Parsha Shlach, where that pasuk is in reference to the carbon of avodah zar, and therefore equates every karma chatas to the karma chatas that's brought by a carbon by avodah zar. And therefore, what do we learn from there? Rebbe Elazar Savir Kavodzik Chavmi says that every karma chatas is the same principle that we find by avodah zar by idol worship, and that is ma avodzik chavim amrachman nuli savi, just like avodah zar idol worship. The Torah says don't do it. And if you do it, then you're liable for chatas. He wrote it's no different. Here you're going to be chayiv since you're not supposed to do the bris milah Friday on Shabbos because it's only mechal by yom hashmini, and here it's going to be day 9, and therefore if you did it, so you chayiv a chatas. What's the difference? And therefore you chayiv even in such a case. Rebbe Shua, however, Rebbe Shua holds that it's different. Because hasam de lav mitzvah, thereby avoid the zara, you're not doing any mitzvah whatsoever when you ultimately do the idol worship. Hacha mitzvah, but here where you're fulfilling a mitzvah, although you're not supposed to, they said only be mechal Shabbos when it's day 8, not day 9, 10, 11, whatever it is. However, when you do the bris milah after day 8, you are mekayim the mitzvah, it's just not bayim hashmini, and therefore there he holds that no, you will not be chayav achatas, and you're going to be potter because you were tarid bedvar mitzvah. And therefore, this version was like the version of Rav Huna that he says, according to everybody, again, that you're going to be chayiv when you're not mekayim a mitzvah. Again, which was the Sunday one that was done earlier before the time of meal, then you're chayiv. However, the machlekes was when you are mekayim a mitzvah, that is where the machlekes, how if you compare the avodah zarah or not, Rav Elazar says you're still going to compare to avodah zarah and you're going to be chayiv achatas. Pshua says, no, it's different because avodah zarah, you're not being mekayim a mitzvah when you're doing it, and therefore you're chayiv achatas. Here, you're going to be exempt because you'd be ultimately, you're being mekayim at least a mitzvah when you're doing it, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv achatas. That was the first amar. Rav Yehuda Masni Patek, and he says his version of the Reish of our Mishnah was that everyone agrees in this case you're going to be exempt, which was the case of when you did the Friday one on Shabbos. Everyone agrees over there you're going to be exempt, even Rebbe Elazar. The Tanya's learned the Braisa like him. Amr Reb Meir, Lo Nechleku Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yeshua, they never argued about a case, Amisha Hoyelo Beit Sinekis, regarding someone that had two children. Echa Lomo Be'erev Shabbos, Echa Lomo Shabbos, one was supposed to be circumcised on Friday, one was supposed to have the Mila on Shabbos. V'shachach, and he made a mistake, u'mola shal erev Shabbos b'Shabbos, and he did the bris milah of the Friday one on Shabbos instead. Shu patur, with you're going to be exempt, because as we explained, because ultimately you're being mekayim a mitzvah, even though it was not in the proper time, it was supposed to be only by yom hashmini, but ultimately mekayim a mitzvah, so everybody agrees you're going to be exempt. Aman nechuku, with regard, what did they argue? That was al mishra hoyu lebeit sinoike, someone had two children. Echad lamal achar Shabbos, one was supposed to have the bris milah after Shabbos, meaning on Sunday. Ve'echad lamal Shabbos, one was supposed to have the bris milah on Shabbos. V'shachachu mola shal achar Shabbos b'Shabbos, and there, by mistake, you did it before its proper time. On day 7, you did on Shabbos instead of Sunday. There, Rabbi Elazar mechayev chatas. There, Rabbi Elazar will argue and say that they're not pater. They are going to be chayev chatas because they're not being mekayem a mitzvah. So there, of course, you're going to be chayev chatas. Bishua paita, and even there, Bishua says you're going to be exempt, even in the case where you did it before the time and you're not being mekayem any mitzvah at all. And why is that? Both of them, their source is from idol worship. Rabbi Elazar Sava Kavaydis Kachavim, he compares it to Avaydis Zar. That Mavaydis Kachavim, Amrachman Oli Sava, just like by idol worship, Terry says, don't do it. Vichy Avid Mechayim, and if you do it, you're liable. So here also, by the other case, we said that you're doing a mitzvah, so fine. But here you're not doing a mitzvah, and the Terry says, don't do it, and you did it. So of course, you're going to be Chayav Achatas. So Hachinami Loishna, here also, it's no different. Rabbi Shua, Hasam Loitarid Mitzvah. Here he goes even further in his chiddush of saying why you're exempt and it's not similar to Avodah Zarah, because here, although you weren't being Mekayim a mitzvah at all because it was on day 7, it was supposed to be on Sunday and it was earlier, you're not being Mekayim any mitzvah of Bris Milah, you would have to do it over again. However, there by Avodah Zarah, the reason why you're chayav achatas is because you weren't being involved in attempting to do a mitzvah. Hachatard mitzvah, here you're involved in trying to do a mitzvah. And that is, you're involved in trying to Mekayim a real full-fledged mitzvah, because one of these children, one of these babies, the time was to be done today on Shabbos. And since he's involved trying to do it, and because he was so busy doing it, he made a mistake and he did the one in the wrong time. So even if he's not being mekayim any mitzvah at all, but since his intent and his tirda was being involved in doing a mitzvah, that's why it's not the same as a avodah zarah. And that's why it's not tarah achas lechem, it's not the same as a chakar mechatas that's generally brought for avodah zarah. And that's why in this case, where your intention was to do a mitzvah, although you didn't even do a mitzvah because it was before day 8, you're still going to be exempt from a chiyav mechatas. So on the same sugya, the Gemara brings a brayis to Tan Rabbi Chiya. Oymahoy Reb Meir. Meir said, Loi nechleku Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua, they never argued on mishahoy lebeit tinaikis, regarding something that had two children. Echad lomo be'erev Shabbos, ve'echad lomo be'Shabbos. He had two children. One was supposed to have the bris milah on Friday. One was supposed to have the bris milah on Shabbos. V'shachachu mol she'erev Shabbos be'Shabbos. And he made a mistake. And they did the Friday one on Shabbos. Shuchayiv. Interesting. Here he says a version that everyone holds, even the Friday one, that where you're going to be doing a mitzvah on Shabbos, that you'll be liable. And the Gemara is going to explain why that is. Amanach, what was their machlokes regarding? Amisha ha'ilah beis tenoikis, regarding something that had two children. Echad lomel erchar Shabbos, ve'echad lomel b'Shabbos. One was supposed to be on Sunday, one was supposed to be on Shabbos. V'shachachu mol shel erchar Shabbos b'Shabbos. And by mistake, you did the Sunday one on Shabbos. With there, Shabbat lozim chayev chatas, that you're going to be chayev chatas because you're not fulfilling any mitzvah whatsoever for the Sunday one again because it's before day 8. Rabbi Shua says that you're going to be exempt because ultimately you were being involved in the tirda of a mitzvah. But then the Gemara asks, it seems to be opposite logic, this version of the way we're explaining that when they argue, when they don't argue. Hashtar Rabbi Shua Seifa. If we have by this last case we just mentioned, the Seifa, the loy kavod mitzvah, and still poiter, we're talking about that you didn't fulfill a mitzvah at the end. You did the Sunday one on Shabbos, and doing a bris milah before they ate, you're not being mekayim any mitzvah whatsoever. And still, even in such a case, Rabbi Shua says that you're going to be pater. Reisha the ka'ovin mitzvah chayim. This flies in the face of all the other versions we had in the Gemara till now. So the one when you do the Friday one on Shabbos, where you are fulfilling a mitzvah when you made a mistake, although it's not supposed to be deicha Shabbos, but ultimately you're fulfilling a mitzvah on day 9, 10, anything after day 8, and there he holds you're going to be liable for a chatas. That seems to be the exact opposite. And then the Gemara says no, because there's a difference. Ami debe Rabbanai, Reisha, the first case, when it was the Friday being done on Shabbos, and there he's going to hold that you're going to be chayiv, is kikun shekodem umol shel Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. We're there, although there were two children, but they mixed them up actually. Yeah, they did the Friday one on Shabbos, but they had done the Shabbos one on Friday. And therefore, delo nitna Shabbos lidachis. In that case, you don't have any excuse to have been doing any chilul Shabbos over here. And that is, there was no child that the time was to be done today on Shabbos when you actually did it. Because you weren't being involved in the mitzvah, because you didn't have anything to do, because there was no mistake in the true child. In other words, there was no option over here, in truth, to do a real mitzvah today, because again, the Shabbos one was already done on Friday. So therefore, when you made a mistake and did the Friday one on Shabbos, there really was no option for a true full-fledged mitzvah, so therefore you weren't tarred in that. However, Sefer, interestingly enough, nitno Shabbos lidachis, although when you did the Sunday one on Shabbos, you didn't fulfill any mitzvah at all, but what you were involved in had an option to be done in a full-fledged way, because there was still the Shabbos one that was supposed to be done on Shabbos, and you didn't. By mistake, you did that one on Sunday, and you did the Sunday one on Shabbos, but since there was this option of doing a full-fledged mitzvah, that's why over there you're going to be putter Whereas the case when you did the Friday one on Shabbos, even though you're doing a mitzvah, but you didn't have the mitzvah gemurah of doing it. And there was no option of doing a chil Shabbos in the permitted way, because there was no Shabbos baby anymore. The Shabbos baby already had his bris on Friday. And that the Gemara says, only Rav Ashi Rav Kahana. If that's the case, the first case that we have regarding the Friday one being done on Shabbos, although the Shabbos one was already done on Friday, there still is an option of being Mechal Shabbos to do a permitted way, which is that in general, children are allowed to have the Bris Milah done on Shabbos, so therefore there is, so to speak, in truth, a permission of doing even the Bris Milah in the Mitzvah Gemurah on Shabbos. And then the Gemara says, no, L'hai Gavra Milo Yisyav. For this person, he didn't have an option of doing a full-fledged, you're right, there are other children in the world, and they could have done these other children, but I only had two children. And there was a Shabbos baby and a Friday baby. And if the Shabbos baby was already done on Friday, when you're doing the Friday one on Shabbos, there was no option of having an opportunity even of doing a full-fledged mitzvah gemurah of permission to do Chil Shabbos, to do the Mila on Bayim Hashmini, because there was no Bayim Hashmini baby, although in the world, of course, there is Bayim Hashmini babies. But here, he didn't have any more Bayim Hashmini baby, and that's why he's going to be Chayiv. Whereas when he did the Sunday one on Shabbos, although he didn't even do a mitzvah, and there is Lachar should be worse, it's not true because he had a Tarid in the mitzvah gemurah, because there was still the Shabbos baby that he could have done, and since that was where he erred, and he was able to do it, there he's going to be potter. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again on the similar theme of the previous Mishnayos regarding doing Mila on Shabbos, and also that it has to be done dafka when it's on the day, B'yom HaShmini, on the eighth day. However, if it's a matzav of Suffolk, if it's not clear, as we said in previous Mishnayos, then it cannot be done on the eighth day if it falls out on Shabbos. As the Mishnah explains, Katan Nima L'Shmoina, sometimes the child has a circumcision on day 8, sometimes L'Tisha on day 9, sometimes L'Asar, sometimes day 10, sometimes will achad asa, sometimes day 11, and sometimes will yid beis for day 12. However, loy pachas v'lo yaisi, you never have less than day 8, because it only starts with day 8, and you never have more than that. In other words, in regards to the halacha of when you know when he was born, it's never going to be more than 12, but not less than 8. Hoketzet. How do you have all these different options? If the child is born regular on a regular afternoon, then it's 8 days later. If it's born on Tuesday, so the bris is going to be on Tuesday, on 8 days later. However, if he's born by twilight, then Nimula test, then the Bris Mila is going to be on day 9. And that is, it means from the day 8 of the following day that he's going to have the Bris Mila. That is because maybe Benash Mosh is by twilight, maybe it was day. And that is, you can't have it if, let's say, he was born on Tuesday evening, turning into Wednesday, it was twilight. Now, if it's Tuesday, then if it's still day, so it should be on the following Tuesday. Yes, but if it's night, then if you do it on Tuesday, it's going to be only day 7, and you can't do the Bris Mila before the proper time. So we'd definitely rather push it off than doing it earlier, because if you do it later on day 9, if let's say it was really Tuesday, and you do it on the following Wednesday, which is day 9, yes, you'll have a fulfillment of the Mila, even though it's not going to be Bein HaShmini, but if you do it too early, it won't be at all. So therefore, when it's Bein HaShmashes, sometimes you could have it, if Bein HaShmashes, if twilight is really from the day, then you could have it to be day 9, because we're not going to do it on Tuesday, because due to the possibility that this twilight is already nighttime, and therefore maybe it's Wednesday, so therefore the bris has to be the following Wednesday. So therefore we'll have it on Wednesday, which will be possibly day 9 from Tuesday if it was really daytime. Bein HaShmashes shel Erev Shabbos, if it's twilight of Friday evening, and that is then you can't do the bris mila you can't do it on Friday, because although maybe the twilight is still day, but maybe not. And therefore maybe it's going to be a day early on day 7, that you can't do. So generally, we do it the following day. Yes, but we can't do that on Shabbos because maybe that's going to be day 9. Because again, maybe from the twilight was really daytime, and that's going to be a mila shelo bizmano. It's a mila not in this proper time, because the b'yom hashmini is the only one that's deicha Shabbos, and therefore you're going to have to wait till after Shabbos. And that is as the Mishnah says, nimul asar. Then you're going to have the bris mila on day 10. Again, if the Friday twilight was really Friday day, so then really, it's going to be, day 8 is going to be Friday. And that's when the bris should be. But since it's not clear, and we can't do it earlier than, we'd rather have later than earlier, so it's supposed to be the day after, which is Shabbos, which is day 9. But yes, you cannot do day 9 on Shabbos, and then you're going to have to push it up another day to day 10. Then, if Yom Tov L'Acha Shabbos, if let's say, again, it was by twilight on Friday evening, but Sunday is Yom Tov. So then, you also can't do a Mila, not in its proper time, on Yom Tov. So therefore, Nimala Acharasa, then the Bris Mila is going to be on day 11, because although possibly that the day 8 is Friday, but since we're not sure, so it has to be the day after, but that's Shabbos, which is 9, and therefore it has to be the day after, which is Sunday, which is day 10. Yeah, but you can't do it, because that's Yom Tov, so it has to be the following day, on Monday, which is day 11. Beis Yomim Shel Rosh Hashanah, if let's say Sunday, Monday is Rosh Hashanah, which that's the only one that has 2 days Midaraisa, then Nimal Shnayim Asa, then the Bris Milah is going to be 12 days after on Tuesday, again, because you can't do it on Friday because maybe it's day 7, and therefore, although it's possible day 8, can't do it on Shabbos, with day 9, which is Shabbos. You can't do day 10, which is the first day Rosh Hashanah. You can't do day 11, which is the second day Rosh Hashanah. So you have to do it on day 12, which is finally after the days of Rosh Hashanah. And then the Mishnah concludes, sometimes you will do after day 12. And that is in the case of Kot Nachayla regarding a child that's ill, then Ein Moil Noisei Achiyavri, you do not do the circumcision on him until he becomes healthy, and then you'll wait as long as is necessary. So now the Gemara explains on this last item of the Mishnah, Amar Shmuel, Chaltzosei Chama, if the fever leaves the child, and that is, it goes out of his body, then Noisei Lekol Zayin Lavrois, you give him 7 days for him to become healthy, and then finally after 7 days, then you can do the Bris Milah. So Yibaylu, they asked the following question, Mi Be'inam Me'es Li'es, when we said you give 7 days, did it mean 24 hours, 7 times of that? That is when we meant 7 days, 7 periods of 24 hours, or to mean 7 days, even if it's partway through the day, like you do by a regular Bris Milah. Child's born on Tuesday, you do it on the 8th day on Tuesday, you wait full 7 days, you don't have to go ahead and do it exactly if it was born on 3 p.m. from 3 p.m. and on. So that's the question, did it have to be 24-hour periods or not? So Toshima. So we wanted to bring a ride. The Tani Luda learned the Braisa that said, Yem havara asai ki yem ivaldi. The day that he becomes healthy is like the day that he gets born, which is, sounds like my lab, just like my yem ivaldi, just like the day that he's born, which is you also have to wait 7 days to the 8th day. Loi be'ina meisleis. You don't have to have 24-hour periods. It just has to be days. Af yem havara asai loi be'ina meisleis. So too, that when his health, that we have to wait 7 days after his fever left him, that again, it doesn't have to be 24-hour periods. Another thing must is loy. No, it's not a raya. This that we say that the day he becomes healthy is like the day he gets born is only to say the same concept of giving him 7 days. Like when you're born, you give 7 days. You become healthy, you give 7 days. However, maybe the day that you become healthy is greater and that there it needs even 24-hour periods and therefore it's no raya. As the Gemara says, maybe here it's different. Maybe the day becomes healthy is better, is more stringent than the day he gets born. And that is the ilu yem evaldo ilu bein meisleis. Maybe the day he's born, you don't need 24-hour periods. Vili yem evrasa bein meisleis. Maybe for his health, there we require 7 days of 24 hours. And that is this that we compare. It was only to say the concept of 7 days, but maybe it's more stringent in the fact that it does need, and therefore it's no raya. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again on the topic of our parak of the mitzvah of milu. So the Mishnah begins. These are the strips of flesh that are left over from a foreskin when the moil, the one who did the circumcision, cut off the foreskin, but there were some strips of skin that were left over. That hold back the mila. Let's say that if these strips are still there, it's like it's not a mila, and therefore he's still considered oral, he's still uncircumcised. What are they? Basra chifes reiv hatar. The flesh that's covering the majority of the corona, which is the crown of the aver of the child, which is the atara is an upper part that surrounds the entire gid, the member that's around it, and from there it slopes down to the top. From that area, there if you have these strips of flesh that cover the majority of that, that will be considered as if the mila wasn't properly done, and therefore he's not considered gemalit. And therefore, ve'ino eichel b'truma, he cannot eat from truma. That is, if this child is a kohen, we learn that in Masechet Yevamos that an oral, an uncircumcised kohen, is usher to eat from truma. And therefore, although they did the milah and they had the whole party and everything, but if there are these little strips that cover the majority of the corona of the atara, then that's not considered a good milah. The imo yibal baser, if the child was very fatty, and it seems like that when the flesh that surrounds the top of the aver, that it's on top of where the foreskin was, that even after you took away the foreskin, it looks like it's covering the gid as if the foreskin is still there, although you really took it away, but since he's so fat and that it gets submerged into his fat, so misakna, you correct that, and that is you cut off that fat and that skin over there with a knife to take away the thickness from the maris ayin because of the suspicion that it seems like he shouldn't seem like that he's a oral, that he's uncircumcised, although you did a real meal and you took away the foreskin, since it doesn't look like that because it looks like it's covered, so therefore you take it away again because of maris ayin, because of the suspicion that it looks like he did not have a bris meal. Continue on to Amud Beis where the Mishnah continues. Molvoloi paras emila. If the moil, if they did a bris mila, they circumcised the child. That is, they took away the foreskin. but v'loy parasim ilu, they did not reveal the membrane that is there's under the foreskin. There's a membrane that covers the top of the aver, and they didn't pull it away. It's as if you didn't do the circumcision. And that is why many times you'll hear by Bris Mila, they say, Nisgalatara, it's been revealed. Not only did they cut off the foreskin, which is what they do, they pull it up and cut it off, but then they peel away this membrane that covers it. That's integral for the mitzvah of Bris Mila. So the Gemara begins, Amra vina, Amra birmi ba'aba, Amra rav. Basar ha'chifa esrev goyvishalatara. It has to be this that we said, that the majority of that Torah is considered these strips, these tzitzin, hama'akfin, these strips of foreskin that considered that it wasn't a properly done mila. It doesn't mean that it has to be the majority of the circumference of the whole top part of the male member. Rather, it's even if it's the majority of the height of the corona, even in one place, if there's one place, not even the whole circumference, one place that has the majority of the height, that this strip is still there, that will invalidate the mitzvah of mila, and you would have to go back to take off those strips to consider it a proper mila. So now the Gemara resumes discussing the Mishnah that said v'mhoyi ba'baster v'chul, that if it was a fat child and that it was submerged, the top inside is the fat that he has over there, said it looks like it wasn't, that as if there's something covering, as if there's a foreskin, so you have to cut away over there, that it shouldn't seem like he's uncircumcised. So the Gemara elaborates on this. Amar Shmuel, katan hamesubrel b'basar, regarding a child that's again very fat and he's thick, and after you do the circumcision, it looks like it's still covered. So Roy and I say they first look at the child. Kolzman shemiskasha, as long as if when his aver becomes hard, it becomes erect, and since when it becomes hard, it flattens out the flesh, it comes out and everything smooths out, v'nir mol, then he'll look like that, he is circumcised because now it's sticking out, then ain't it tzarach lomol, then you don't have to circumcise it. V'mlav tzarach lomol, if even when it gets hard, it's still submerged and it still looks like it's covered, then you would have to circumcise him again, even though he is circumcised, but you have to cut away again because of this element of marasayin. Similarly, the Gemara brings b'masnita tana, the braisa we learned, regarding a child that's covered with flesh, again, that is very fat and it's submerged, really nice that we look at him. If when it gets hard and it still doesn't seem like that he's circumcised, then you have to circumcise him. But if not, then you don't have to circumcise. The Gemara says, what's the difference between these two versions? They're really saying the same thing. They're just going from the opposite ends. One is saying that if it gets hard and it is visible, then it's not a problem. The other one says when it's hard and it's not visible, then it is going to be a problem. What's the difference? So it could be now you near a vein, and near the difference is if it's seen but it's not seen, it's somewhere in the middle. That is, according to Shmuel, he said that if it's visible, that he's circumcised, that you don't have to circumcise him anymore, which sounds like, but if it's near the ain't in there, that it's not totally visible, then you would have to cut away. But according to the Bryce's version, where they said it in the other type of terminology, where they said that if it's not visible, then you have to, but it sounds like only if it's really not visible, but if it's visible and not visible, somewhere in the middle, then even then you wouldn't have to go ahead and cut away because it doesn't look exactly totally as if it's not visible, and therefore since it's somewhere in the middle, then it would be mutter. That's the difference between those two versions. So our Mishnah said, Mulvaloi Para, that if you do this circumcision, you cut away the foreskin, but you don't reveal, you don't rip off the membrane that covers the top, it's as if you didn't do a Bris Mila. So now the Gemara goes till the end and talks about the different brachas that we say at a Bris Mila. So Tana Bain Linda Braisa. Hamol Oimer, and this is the first part of where it really starts. The one who's doing the circumcision, the Moil, he says, Asher Kedushon Be Mitzvah Zvon Al Mila, that we're blessing Hashem that he commanded us to do the mitzvah of the circumcision. And then Aviha ben Oimer, then the father of the child says, Asher kedishanu b'mitzvayse b'tzvanu l'achnise b'vritzah shel Avraham Avinu, that he commanded us and he commanded us in this mitzvah, he sanctified us and he commanded us in the mitzvah of entering the child in the covenant of Avraham Avinu. That's the bris of the Mila. Then ha'im d'mayim, those who are standing, that they say, k'shem shenichnas l'bris, just like he has entered into the covenant, kach ikonas l'Torah l'chub l'masim tovim, so too he should enter into learning Torah, and into the marriage canopy, and into good deeds. V'hamavarachim, and then the one that makes the blessing, he generally, they take a cup of wine, he says the following blessing, Asher kiddush yidid, that Hashem sanctified the beloved, and that's a reference to Yitzchak, who's called beloved, like it says by the pasuk when Hashem was telling Avraham Avinu to bring Yitzchak to the Akedah to slaughter him. He said, "Asher Ahavta, the son that you love, that's he did. He's the beloved." so that Hashem sanctified the beloved Mibetan from the womb. And that is, even before he was born, he was already sanctified with this mitzvah of bris milah. Like it says in the pasuk that they were saying, Avol sari eshtecha, but sari your wife. And the pasuk continues, Vakimaisis bris ita, that I will fulfill my covenant with him. That's the covenant of milah. It was told by Yitzchak even before he was born. And that is chayk, the decree of your milah, b'she'eroisam, that in their flesh they have placed, v'tzatzov, and their offspring after them, chosam, you sealed ba'ois bris kodesh, with this sign of the holy covenant. And that is, we're saying about how Kodesh Baruch Hu, you sanctified Yitzchak and you gave this mitzvah to the children afterwards, al kein b'schar zeis, and therefore in the reward of this, of our fulfilling this holy mitzvah of the bris milah, kel chai, holy God, chalkenu, our portion, you should command to save the beloved ones of our flesh, all our brothers, mishachas, from destruction. That's a reference to Gehenna. As the pasuk in Zechariah Perek Tes says, that gam es bedam b'risecha, also with the blood of your covenant, shalachti asirecha mibar imayim boy, I have sent forth those that have been locked in a pit without any water. That's a reference to Gehenna. So that go ahead and command to save all our brothers from Gehenna, leman brisei hashasam b'sreinu, because of his covenant that he has placed in our flesh. Baruch atah Hashem, koreis habris, Hashem, you should be blessed, that you literally cut, but that you make this covenant between us. So those are the brachas, that's the process that's done by a bris milah. Now, hamolas ageirim, regarding someone that does a circumcision on a convert, there the blessing is, Baruch atah Hashem, elkeinu melech ha'olam, blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the world, asher kedishanu b'mitzvos, that has sanctified us with his mitzvahs, v'tzivon, and commanded us, ala milah, on the circumcision. V'mevorach, the one that makes the blessing, he says, that is, he sanctified us and commanded us to circumcise the converts, ulahatav mem dambris, and to draw from them the blood of the covenant. Shel molid dambris, because if not for the blood of the covenant, lo yiskayimu shemayim v'aretz, heaven and earth would not survive. Shnem, like it says, the pasuk in Yirmiyah, im loy berisi yomim v'layla, if not for my covenant, day and night, chukos shemayim v'aretz lo yisamti, the statutes of heaven and earth I would not place. And we see that it's the mitzvah of milah that keeps the world going. Baruch atah Hashem, koreis habris, blessed are you Hashem, the one that creates the covenant, that cuts the covenant literally. Hamolas avodim, is someone that circumcises the slaves, that is when a person buys a non-Jewish slave, then he gets and he has the halachas of an ish, of a woman, to fulfill mitzvahs, and he has to go through a process of conversion. So then they say, asher kedishanu b'mitzvos of zibona alamila, that he has sanctified us and commanded us on the mitzvah of circumcision. V'amavarachim, the one that makes the blessing, says, asher kedishanu b'mitzvos of zibona lemas avodim, to circumcise the slaves, ulahatamem dam bris, and similar, like by the ger, to draw the blood of the covenant, shel molid, and this is all the version of the bracha, shel molid dam bris, because if not for the blood of the covenant, chukos shemayim v'aretz lo yiskayimu, the statutes of heaven and earth would not survive. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk, im lo berisi yom v'layla, if not for my covenant day and night, chukos shemayim v'aretz lo yisamti, the statutes of heaven and earth I would not place. Baruch atah Hashem, koreis habris, blessed are you Hashem, that cuts the covenant, that does this bris milah with us, and that's the different brachas that we make, both by a Jewish child, and by gerim, and by avadim. Hadnu lach Rebbe Elazar de Mila, we shall return to you, Perek Rebbe Elazar de Mila, the 9th Perek in Masechta Shabbos. And now we begin the 20th Perek in Masechta Shabbos, Perek Tehillim. Our Mishnah begins regarding the topic of making different preparations for food items on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And our Mishnah begins. Rebbe Elazar says, Tehillim es ha-meshmeres b'Yom Tov. We're allowed to suspend, we're allowed to hang up a strainer on Yom Tov. And that is, they would strain the wine that would have these pieces in the wine to strain it out. And they would stretch out the opening on all the sides in like a circle. And this strainer would be like a oil, like a tent on the cavity of the vessel. And although you're creating a type of oil, which is asad to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov, on Yom Tov it's permitted like the Gemara is going to explain. But on Shabbos, you're not allowed to hang up the strainer because of this problem. However, if it's hanging, then the Mishnah says, V'noishn l'tluya b'Shabbos, then Rebbe Elazar holds that you're allowed to put in the wine into the strainer on Shabbos. And although it seems like bar, but since it's not the derech of bar, of sorting, therefore, you're allowed to put in the wine and leave and have the lees, the thick parts of the wine, stay inside and the good part goes through it. However, Chacham and Chacham argue and they say, Ain toil nesa meshmez b'yom tov. No, you're not allowed to hang up the strain on Yom Tov. Ve'ein noisnin l'tluya b'Shabbos. And they argue in the second part of Rebbe Elazar also that you're not allowed to even put in wine into this strainer on Shabbos. Even if it's already hanging, you're not allowed to put it on Shabbos. Aval, the one thing you're allowed to do is that the strainer that's already hanging on Yantiv, then you're allowed to put the wine in into the strainer because that's considered things that are necessary for Eichel Nefesh on Yantiv, that there it's permitted. So now the Gemara asks on the Pinya of Rebbe Elazar, which is the first thing in our Mishnah. Hashda Rebbe Elazar is Sufi Oil Ari Loi Misafina. That, as we're going to prove, Rebbe Elazar holds, even to add on to a temporary tent, a temporary structure, even that, we're not allowed to even add on, which is lighter than creating one initially. Even to be moistened to add on, he holds, you're not allowed to. So, lemeve leket chila shari, in our Mishnah, he says that you're allowed to initially go ahead and create a tent, which is toil ha-mishmeres, to go hang up the strainer, which is a type of a tent, on Yantiv. How are you allowed to do that? Even to add on, he doesn't allow. To go initially and create the whole entire structure on Yantiv, he holds, you're allowed to. As the Gemara says, Mahi, where do we find, your brother says, you can't even add on. That's not like we learned in the Mishnah, in the previous Mishnah, we learned pekakach aloin regarding the shutter of a window. For example, by a skylight. Rebbe Elazar Omer says, "Bizman shekasher betali," when this shutter is tied onto the window and it's hanging by the string. So then, pekakim by then, you could go ahead and close the window with the shutter. Vimlav, but if it's not hanging there, it's like on the floor. Ain't pekakim by then, you cannot shutter the window. And the Gemara is going to explain in a moment why that is. The Chacham say it doesn't make a difference. Either way, you can go ahead and shutter the window, even if it's hanging from it, or if it's not hanging and it's on the floor. And the Amir came and explained this machlekes. And that is, everyone agrees, you're not allowed to go ahead and initially create even a temporary oil, a temporary tent on Yom Tov. The Ein Tzarech Leimer B'Shabbos, and I wouldn't have to tell you that, it would be usher to do that on Shabbos. Their whole machlokes is regarding adding on to an oil on Yom Tov. And that is, for example, this shutter, which is only a temporary addition to the oil, and that is because the shutter is not always there. You're just temporarily adding it on to the binyan, to the structure. With there, so since it's only an addition, where Rebbe Elazar says, even there you're not allowed to add on Yom Tov, and that it's usher in the case of where it wasn't tied on and hanging, where it looks like you're adding it on, because if it was hanging, it's on there already, not even doing anything more. But if it wasn't hanging and tied on, so therefore it doesn't look obvious, so it's like an addition, even the oil hour, even a temporary addition, is usher to do on Yom Tov. And they wouldn't have to tell you that it's usher in Shabbos. But Chacham said, no, Meisif in Shabbos, you're allowed to add on a temporary addition to a building on Shabbos. Vein tzarech liyam b'yom tov, I wouldn't have to tell you that it's permitted to do on Yom Tov. Everyone agrees, you're not allowed to create an initial oil, even a temporary one, on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Their machlokes was regarding an addition to an oil, in this case, a temporary addition, which is a naroyis of a hoisafes oil. And that is there, the Chacham say that you're allowed to do. And Rebbe Elazar says, even that you're not allowed to do. So again, the question is, how in our Mishnah could he say you could put up the strain on Yom Tov, which is creating the oil arai, where here we find that everyone says that you're not allowed to. And Rebbe Elazar goes even further and says, not only you're not allowed to go ahead and make it initially, you can't even add on a temporary addition on Yom Tov. So how could he say in the Mishnah that you could do the Ketchila? And I think Rebbe Elazar says, you have it right regarding the halachas of oil. However, Rebbe Elazar sovel like Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Elazar holds like Rebbe Yehuda, and that is that Rebbe Yehuda holds that it's permitted over here for a different reason, because of what's called machshiri oichel nefesh. That since this goes into the category of preparatory, preliminary items for going ahead and helping you make food items, again, oichel nefesh permitted to do on Yom Tov. Now, setting up the strainer is not making the food. It's a preliminary, it's a preparatory act. It's considered a hechsher. Now, Rabbi Yehuda holds, even hechsheri oichel nefesh can be done on Yom Tov. So though you're not allowed to do even a temporary addition to an oil on Yom Tov, however, here you're allowed to do any malacha that's necessary for oichel nefesh, and like Rabbi Yehuda, even a machshiri oichel nefesh, like we learned in the Braisa, that the Tanakhama says, in ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos el oichel nefesh b'lvad. There's no difference really in the halachas of Shabbos and Yom Tov. The only difference is things which are necessary for food consumption, which that you're allowed to do. You're allowed to cook, you're allowed to do other things that are necessary for food on Yom Tov. Yehuda matter av machshir eichel nefesh. However, Yehuda says permitted even the preparatory acts for eichel nefesh, and therefore you're allowed to also hang up the mashmeres, which is the halacha of Rebbe Elazar in our Mishnah, because that's a hechsher for eichel nefesh to go ahead and sift the food items to then go and be able to use it for consumption, and that's why there it's different and it's permitted even to go ahead and make it. But then the Gemara asks, Eimad Shemin le Yehuda, when did we hear this heter of Yehuda? That's regarding these preliminary things that are necessary for the food items that cannot have been done from before Yom Tov. For example, if you had a spit, which is used to roast the meat on, that it got bent out of shape on Yom Tov, then we're allowed to go ahead and do a malacha to go ahead and prepare the spit to use it to go ahead and roast on Yom Tov. But did we ever hear that Rabbi Yehuda would permit even regarding preparatory items that were able to be done in Erev Yom Tov? And therefore, since over here by this strainer, which it could have been done from before Yom Tov, there even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's not mutter. It's only a hechsher echel nefesh that could not have been done from before Yom Tov without it permits on Yom Tov. So again, how does that answer Rabbi Lazo, who says even to put up the strainer, which could have been done in Erev Yom Tov, he permits to even do and create an oil arai on Yom Tov itself? And that the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar adif in Rabbi Yehuda. You're right, Rabbi Yehuda, we never heard him go that far. But Rabbi Elazar was even bigger and greater and even stronger than Rabbi Yehuda. And he says it's permitted to do machshirin of Eichel Nefesh, even those that could have been done from the Erev Yom Tov. And therefore we resolve this contradiction of Rabbi Elazar, although in the halachas of oil, Rabbi Elazar holds you can't even add on a temporary addition to an oil on Yom Tov. The case of a Mishnah is different because our Mishnah is talking about Machshir Eichel Nefesh, and Rabbi Elazar goes in the opinion, and even stronger than the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that you could do Machshir Eichel Nefesh, even those that could have been done from Erev Yom Tov, on Yom Tov, and there you could do any malacha, especially the malacha of putting up a temporary oil, even on Yom Tov.